It has been my privilege for a number of years not only to minister the Word of God, but also to enter in a public way, minister in a public way, but also to interact with believers, Christians, privately in their homes. Or in a private situation. And over the years, there is a common denominator of need. It's not particular your need or my need, but corporately, an umbrella over the people of God that has been my experience. And that need is encouragement. A dear friend of mine used to say to me, you know what the biggest room in the world is? And I'd say, what's that? He said, the room for improvement. And so let me encourage you to encourage one another. We can all do that. Now, it's an effort. I know that, especially when you're a little bit discouraged yourself. You go, oh, me, I don't feel that great myself. I'm a little bit down. And the tendency is when you meet with someone else, another Christian, first thing you know, you're sharing your woes and your discouragements instead of lifting them up, instead of encouraging them. So let's go to Isaiah chapter 40 this morning for our thoughts about encouraging one another and getting encouragement from the Lord Himself. I don't know how many times I have referred to or read in Isaiah 40, verses 28 to 31, many, many times. You may know that passage by heart. It's a wonderful passage. And it starts in verse 28 by saying, have you not known? Have you not heard? That's the way that verse 28 starts. Well, we're going to read verse 27. Because verse 27 is absolutely necessary to begin to understand what verse 28 is talking about. Look at verse 27. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? And my just claim is passed over by my God. This is the context. This is really the answer to the questions. Isaiah says, what are you talking about, Jacob? What are you saying, Israel? And then he asked two questions. They say, that is, this is their utterance, their voice. Two things. First, my way is hidden from the Lord. Did you ever think God has overlooked you? In other words, God can't see me. God doesn't know where I am or what I'm going through. My way is hidden from the Lord. He's not aware of my needs. I don't know if you ever had those thoughts or not. You know, at first when you get discouraged or you have a need and you begin to pray. I mean, how many times in this book of Psalms do we hear the psalmist say, I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and heaven and brass, nothing. Oh God, why don't you hear my cry? That's what they're saying. My way's hidden from the Lord. He can't see me. He doesn't know what I'm doing. He doesn't know how I'm going through it. He's not aware of my needs. That's the first one. Look at number two. My just claim is passed over by my God. I have a situation here. I have a claim. I have a concern. I have a desire. I have a need. And oh, by the way, it's right. It's a just claim. I am absolutely just in what I'm thinking. I'm absolutely right in what I'm doing. And it says, it is passed over. I made my request to God and he doesn't care. I have explained my case and he does not even listen. It seems as though he has more important things to do. I don't know if any of us would be so bold as to really say that. But I suspect that you may have thought that. Or you may just think, oh, I'm a nobody. Why would God take time with me? He doesn't care about nobodies. You have to be some big somebody for God to really pay attention to you. Please listen to me. That is the lie of the devil. Don't you believe that? I'll tell you how important you are. God sent his son for you. That's how important you are. He loves you so much that he gave heaven's most precious commodity for you, not me. It ain't it for me, but put it personal for you. But evidently Jacob as a person, Israel as a nation are saying, my way is hidden from him. My just claim, I'm right in what I'm asking. I'm right in what I'm doing. And he doesn't even pay any attention to me. Notice in verse 28, the response. Don't you know? I mean, get it through your head. Get it in your brain. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Like, what are you thinking? God's not interested. God has overlooked you. God doesn't care about you. Get this in your head. The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, doesn't forget. He doesn't overlook. He doesn't disregard. He knows what's important, and he never faints, nor is he weary. And then he ends verse 28 by saying, his understanding is unsearchable. Do you ever say to yourself, I don't know why God did that? Or how could God do that? Or I don't know what God is doing. That's okay. It's all right. As long as you understand he makes no mistakes. Sometimes he lets you in on it. Sometimes he says, just trust me. You see, God showed his power to Israel, but he showed his ways to Moses. When you walk in the secret place, when you hide under the shadow of the Almighty, when you are completely submitted and dedicated and faithful to God, he just might whisper in your ear and let you in on a few of these things. But don't think you're ever going to understand God. If you could, you would be God. That's the reason he's God and we're created creatures. But he wants us to know certain things. He wants us to hear the word of God. He wants us to know he's the everlasting Lord, creator of the ends of the earth. Verse 28. And just in case you can't get it in your head, you think he can't see you, and you think he doesn't, is not interested in you, notice verse 29. He gives power to the weak. That's number one. And to those that have no strength, he increases strength or might. Verse 30, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. In other words, that is life. Don't get excited. What happens? We're not all Olympic champions. We can't run and run and run and do and do and do and think and think, and no matter how educated, how much we exercise, whatever, the reality is in this life there are limitations, and in our walk with the Lord Jesus there are limitations. And we exhaust ourselves and we fall and we say, oh, if I was just 20 years younger. You're not. Okay. I shouldn't even say this. I'm on record here. But do you ever notice about girls? When they're young, they want to be old. And when they're old, they want to be young. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that, that's the way that goes. That's just like some of you are going, I know. And men always want to be tough. I can do it. I can push through it. I'm good at this. And the youth shall faint. Young men shall fall. When we in our own strength and our own desire think that we can do something for God, you're setting yourself up. At some point in your life, you have to learn, you have to experience that when I'm weak, I'm strong. What does that mean? It doesn't mean when I'm physically weak, I can go and lift 200 pounds. That's not what that means. It means when I am totally convinced that in myself I cannot live the Christian life. God said, I can work with that. I can help you. I can raise you up. Notice the exchange. Power for the weak. Extra strength to those that have no might. The young man, the youth, the young man utterly fall. But the answer in verse 31, but, see the contrast? But those who wait. I don't like to wait. If somebody's coming to my house and they tell me they're going to be there at a certain time, 10 minutes before they get there, I'm looking out the window. I'm going, come on. Like, where are they? Where are they? You know? And you go to a doctor or to a mechanic for your car or to some appointment, and the secretary comes out and says, Mr. So-and-so's not here right now. Just have a seat and wait. Now, it should tip you off because there's a 30-cup coffee pot sitting there. Have a coffee, they say, and wait. It is hard to wait. Someone has put it this way. They said this, waiting is a responsibility, not an option. I like that. So if you can't do anything else, just wait. No. The Bible tells us to wait. Wait is a job, not a pastime. To wait is really hard. It's like the lady who said, Lord, give me patience right now. Some of you will get that later. That's okay. Don't worry. But waiting is something that the scriptures is full of. Just a couple of things. Abraham waited for what? 25 years for a son. Daniel waited 21 days for an answer to prayer. Israel waited 400 years for a deliverer. The world waited 4,000 years for a savior. Jacob waited, I know this is debatable, at least 14 years for a wife. Moses waited 40 years in the desert. Even God waited in the days of Noah. Thank God he waited. The disciples waited for a promise from the Father. The sick man waited 38 years beside the pool of Siloam that someone would stir the water. Waiting, waiting. What is God doing? Let me tell you something. God is working. God is on time. His train comes right into the station. You can set your watch by it. Oh, we think he's late. We think it's not going to work. But Isaiah says here, it's all kind of things that are not going to work, but they that wait, that's the answer. Now, before we leave that point, let me suggest there are two ways to wait. I've suggested this kind of hang on, endure, keep believing, don't get anxious, trust the Lord and wait patiently. Just wait. That's one. But if you go to a restaurant, a lady or a man comes over to your table and says, what would you like? And they are your waiter. I'm wondering if we might not take that thought and put it into this great contrast, but they that serve the Lord, they that wait on the Lord. I know some of your translations has wait for, I know that, but that's not necessarily absolutely correct. Some of the translations say wait on the Lord. So let me suggest that. Maybe it's both. Maybe it's a servant of the Lord that has to wait patiently. Or maybe it's the person who is waiting patiently but not serving. And as they wait, they realize there's something I can do while I'm waiting. Oh. But you got to wait. And here's what happens. Notice it. Those that wait on the Lord, notice what happens, shall renew their strength. You remember the ordinary routine life, no might, no strength, weak, youth, and weary, and all that? Well, they can renew that. It's an interesting twist on that word. Maybe you have it in the column of your Bible or a footnote. That word renew actually means to exchange. I like that. If I have a little strength and I renew that, well, I got a little strength. Isn't that great? But if I have a little strength and I can exchange that for God's strength, if I can exchange what I have for what God has and put that into action in my life, I really like that. They shall renew their strength. And then he says three things. Going to mount up like with wings like eagles. One time I was running out of time like I am right now. And I was reading too fast. And I was reading this passage and I said, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. I don't know how that's going to translate. I never saw an eagle or a weagle, but It was a blooper, a slip, okay, in your head. I can see that right now. Okay, but the text says, shall mount up with wings like eagles, that'd be flying. They shall run and not be weary, that'd be running. And then they shall walk and not faint, that would be walking. These are the three things this passage ends on. Flying, running, and walking. Guess which one is the hardest? The last. Let me explain that to you. When we get encouraged and we're on the top of the mountain and things are going really well, it's nice to just parasail right off of that mountain. Just got the wing, the air under your wings, and spiritually speaking, you're just going for it. You know, isn't that nice? Had a great conference, had a great Sunday morning, a lot of Christians. I'm really encouraged, and I'm just soaring all the way. That's wonderful. And then you hit the ground. Well, it's okay, because it hadn't been long, and I still got a lot of memories, and things are going, so I hit, as we would say sometimes, I hit the ground running. Here I go, I'm just going, and then, you know what's going to happen? Monday morning's coming. Got to go back to school. Got to go back to work. Got to go of life. And you know what? That's where we pull it off. That's where it really works. Oh, we thank God for Sunday mornings and conferences and fellowship lunches and all that. And we thank God for the mountaintop experience and for the races when we feel so invigorated and the Lord's behind us and we're running and we're running and we're running. But one day, someday, today, tomorrow, tonight, I'm back. In reality. But God's there. And he says, remember, you've been waiting, serving. Yes, Lord, I have. Well, then you remember, I'm not weary, and I don't faint, and I'm with you, and you can't run me off. I'm your God. Verse 10 of the next chapter, and I'll be through. Verse 10 of 41. Fear not, for I'm with you. Be not dismayed. The visual here on that word, dismayed, watch this. Don't be walking around rubbing your hands together saying, what will I do? What will I do? I don't know what to do. That's that word. For I am with you. Be not dismayed. Don't rub your hands together and say, what am I going to do? I'm your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. These are promises. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Folks, it ain't get any better than that. You know how all this works? You know how this works? You listen? By faith. By faith. You say, well, I tried that once, it didn't work. Try it again. You say, well, I prayed to God and he didn't answer. Pray again. You say, well, I went for a long time and I stumbled and I failed. Get up. Our God is able to deliver. Our God is able to encourage. You say, well, I talked to so-and-so and they're discouraged too. Both of you need to read this. These things are true, brothers and sisters. You do not have to live in defeat, in discouragement, in despair. Be not dismayed. God says, I am not the bridge over troubled waters. When you go through the waters, are you listening? I'm with you. When you go through the fire, it won't consume you. I'm your God. You can't run me off. We're going all the way. Please be encouraged. There are no nobodies with God. He saw you at conception. He's got a plan for your life. It's written in a book, and it is being unfolded this very hour. It's an exciting time to be alive. It's an exciting thing to serve, to wait on our God. Let's pray. Father, you are so good. Have we not known? Have we not heard? Of course we have. Well, then let us believe it then. And let us trust. Even though we haven't seen, blessed are those that have not seen and yet believe. For Christ's sake, amen. Any announcements?